Give the Lord a hand clap. I praise for that young lady. She is so awesome. I heard a rumor last night about an 85-year-old widow went on a blind date with a 90-year-old man. When she returned home to her daughter's house later that night, she seemed a little upset. "What happened, mother?" the daughter asked. "I had to slap him in the face 3 times. "You mean he got fresh?" She said, "No, I thought he was dead." So just remember today, don't nobody look dead in here, okay? I have been to the funeral at a funeral home before, and the undertaker and I were sitting at the back, and he said, "I see some potential customers now." I went, "Stop it." Yeah, you better move when you're around them. Get your Bible out and turn to Romans chapter 7. This also is going to be one of our themes during this 12 steps. I'm looking forward to these 12 steps. And again, it's not a cure-all, but it's going to be a very much helpful thing for anybody, anywhere today. Got your Bible? Turn to Romans chapter 7. Stand for the reading of the Word. Romans chapter 7, verse 15. You got your Bible? Say amen. You don't say oh me. Here we go. Chapter 7, verse 15. Okay. For that which I do, I allow not. For that which I would not, that which I would, that do I not. It's confusing, isn't it? Who's on first? What's on second? What I hate that I do. I'm going to break that down in just a minute so we won't be so crazy to understand. Let's all pray. Father, we love you, Lord. We praise your name. We thank you for your grace. We thank you for your mercy. We know, God, that you are alive and well. And God, we know you're working your plan in our lives. God, anybody that's here today, Lord, they're not here by accident. God, you got a plan. You got a something for them special. You got a method. And I ask you right now, Lord, to help each and every person here today know that you are here and in a very, very, very powerful way. And we ask you today, Lord, as we start this journey on the 12-step program, help us keep a proper perspective and a proper outlook on all of this. In the name of Jesus we pray. And the church said, amen. Look at somebody and really look at them and say, the past is behind us. Past is behind us. Leave it there. Say it. Leave it there. The future is ahead of us. Reach for it. God is with us. Amen. And nothing shall be impossible. God is so good. So we're starting on this journey today. And again, like I said, everything's in it's going to be 5 portions to the 12 steps. And today is I can't, God can, I let him. And actually, until I found out DC weren't going to be here, I was actually going to call it Give Me 3 Steps and get DC to play a little bit of it for us. Amen. But Give Me 3 Steps. I can't, y'all say this, I can't. God can, and I will let him. That's where the problem comes in. Amen? So let's go ahead. I'm going to sit down. We're going to have a good old time in God's Word tonight or today, and know that God has got us in a very, very special, special time. So, in a world full of lies, how many has noticed that the world is so full of lies? Even when they tell you they're telling the truth, you listen, and how can the truth be a truth out of one mouth and a lie out of another mouth? It's crazy in this world that we live in. So you got to understand, I'm getting ready to tell you truth. And it's not my truth. It's not the world's truth. It's not Washington, D.C.'s truth. This is God's truth. Okay, so let's go ahead and we're going to get going in to this 12-step program. Now, I want you to know something very seriously. Every Christian, not just every Christian I know of, not just every Christian in here, every Christian, y'all say every Christian is in some state of recovery. We spent 3 weeks talking about it. We're trying to get back to where God originally had ordained for us before Adam and Eve messed up in the garden. Once they sinned in the garden, what God had for us has been tainted and has been hurt. And so every Christian is in recovery. Now it might not be drugs. It might not be alcohol. But every last one of us battles sin. Every last one of us battle fear. Every one of us battle pride. Every last one of us battle shame. Now, do you know the difference in guilt and shame? Let me tell you the difference in guilt and shame. Guilt is healthy. Guilt means you've blown it, and you feel like you have to make it right before God or before that person. That's guilt. That is an emotion. But then there's shame. Shame is a lot different. Shame becomes who you are. And if you're full of shame, then it's hard to reach out. It's hard to reach out. Guilt is healthy. Shame is unhealthy. And every day to my life, I meet people with both of these, one or both. The truth is, because we're in recovery, what is going on is, it's not just the addict. It's any action, listen carefully, it's not written down, any action or any attitude that is not pleasing to God. So we can sit back and look and say, well, I know that guy, he probably got him a dime bag sitting out in the car right now, bless his soul. Well, what about you talking about him? What about you looking down on him? So, again, when it comes to recovery, it's gaining back what God gave us in the beginning, and we're battling, and the problems are any actions or attitudes that don't please God. So I love it. The gospel is a story of recovery itself. It's we were powerless, God is powerful, and we surrendered to his care. Amen? We were powerless, God is powerful, and we surrendered to his cares. Now, once we believe that and know that, the doors open for God's grace to take over. I can't do it on my own. I like that song, Jesus Take the Wheel. You know, I used to love that song. And once Bethany got driving in her permit, that was my ringtone for her. I sang it every time she got behind the wheel. Jesus, take the wheel. So, here it goes. The first three steps of recovery. Now remember, step one, two, and three, it's not just for addicts. It's for disciples. Okay? It's for disciples. And you're, look, what's her name? Freya. I'm glad you're in here, Freya. You're so beautiful. Look how beautiful she is. Can you hold her up so somebody can see how pretty she is? Look how pretty she is. She's so pretty. Yeah, there you go. And her being in here is a sign of growth. Amen? It's a sign of life in the church. You go ahead, young lady. So now we got two over here and one over here. Isn't that good? Well, they're not over here right now. They're back there, but that's okay. All right, here. Right now? You kicked them out. Here I was trying to make a good thing over here, and Dad said we kicked them out. All right. So get it now. Steps one through three is the heart of discipleship, because what we're going to go through, the 12 steps, is not just for addicts. It's for disciples. And they remind us that there's three simple truths in the gospel, okay? The gospel in three steps. I can't. God can. I will let him. Y'all said it with me. Again, we're going to be saying this a lot. I can't. God can. I will let him. The times where you get in trouble is when you think you can without him, or when you know you can't and he can, but you won't let him. So you got to do these things. It's important, especially people that are troubleshooters. If we're how many troubleshooters in here? We're troubleshooters and fix-it people. You know, if we're not careful, we'll try to fix everything ourselves, including us, and we can't do it. So here we go. I'm being very quick today. I know you're going to say not, but I am. You watch. How many know there's a struggle in every one of our lives? The struggle in our lives is finding a way to allow God to take the wheel. I mean, we can say we got to struggle with this, a struggle with that, a struggle. No, the struggle is letting go of the wheel and giving it to God. So, the very first step. I'm going to read this now. I told you I was going to get it so you could maybe understand it a little better, make more sense. For I know that nothing good dwells in me, that is in my flesh, for I have the desire to do what is right. This is the NLT. But not the ability to carry it out. How many in here says, I'm not going to do that again, and has said that, said this will be my last time, and you've said it at least 100 times since? Amen. So much. I love it. This, look. Here it is, the Amplified Version. For I know that nothing good dwells within me, that is, in my flesh. I can will what is right, but I cannot perform it. I have the intention and the urge to do what is right, but no power to carry it out. Guess who said that? Paul, the greatest apostle that ever lived, wrote 2/3 of the New Testament. He was the man. He was the man with the plan. He had died and gone to heaven. In the third heaven, God gave him all kinds of things to see and to know. And after all of that, he says, you know, the thing, sometimes I'm sitting there, and the things I want to do, I can't do, and the things I don't want to do, I do. So what is it? That's when, watch, when you let the spirit and the flesh, Galatians says there's a constant battle going on between the spirit and the flesh. Remember the story I told you about the man up in Alaska had a white dog and a black dog? And for 10 years, he carried it to the town every Saturday, and they would bet on that dog fight. And he would bet on the white dog or the black dog, and every year, every week he won. And so they asked him when he finally retired the dog, how did you always know every time for 10 years which dog was going to win? He said, easy, it's the one I fed that week. What are you feeding? Are you feeding your flesh? Are you feeding your spirit? All right. So here we go. Get ready. We're getting ready to have us a good time in here. Hopefully. Oh, how many feel like that sometimes? How many feel like that a couple times a week? How many feel like that? How many feel like that today? You ain't got to raise your hands because there's already a hand raised. It's already done for you. Here's somebody sinking. They're sinking fast. Step one of the three steps. If you have never gone to an Al-Anon meeting, and sometimes they won't let you in there if you actually do not have somebody in your family with alcohol or drug problem, look it up online and watch one. There's Alcoholics Anonymous. There's Narcotics Anonymous. There's all kinds of anonymouses, you know. I felt bad because one time I went to an Overeaters Anonymous, and right in the middle of it, I stopped and said, when's snack time? There's That didn't fare over too good. All right. There's all kinds of AA and all this stuff. But when Bill Bright was doing AA, when he had guys coming to his house and they were having AA meetings, they would bring their wives and their wives would sit in the car. And while they're sitting in the car, they're just waiting. So Bill Bright's wife went out and got them. And they had a meeting at the same time the AA was having a meeting, and they called Al-Anon. Al-Anon is for people that they're not the ones with the alcoholic problem, but they're married to alcoholics. And so, again, it's camaraderie, and it's a group, and it's really, really awesome. So if you've never been to any of those, look it up online and check it out. But if you're not careful when you hear the 12 steps, you're going to think it's all about them. Nope. It's all about us. Us. Every last one of us. Step number one. Admit you're powerless. Amen? Again, Romans says, it says that no good thing. Here we go. Get it down there. No good thing dwells in us. Get ready. Guess what? We cannot fix ourselves. How many here think you can? Look, how many is pretty good at fixing things? Hey, guess what? We cannot fix ourselves. You can't. How many here does your own eye exams and prescribes your own glasses and does your own eye surgery? How many here has done your own appendicitis diagnosis and took it out yourself? Not only do you have to have help that way, you got to have help with God in everything that you do. So, we've admitted that the things I want to do, I'm not doing, and I'm powerless. I've got to have God. So Paul admitted his inability to do what was right apart from Christ. Listen carefully. Denial keeps us bound, but confession sets us free. That's why God wants us to confess our sins, and then he cleanses us. He wants us to confess it. You know, when I go through the detention center, I carry this with me. This is what I use with y'all too. It's an anointing balm. I use the balm because the oil gets leaking everywhere and it makes me look kind of rough in my pants. It really does. So this right here is frankincense and myrrh. And I can walk past jail cells and guys will go, please, please anoint me. And I anoint their hands and I anoint their heads. And I said, why? And they said, because when I can't sleep or when I get worried, I'm thinking about my case or my family, they said I can sit there and put my hand up and smell that anointing and know. Because I tell them, when we anoint you, the oil itself doesn't have any properties. When we anoint you, what you're saying is, because you've called for the elders of the church that pray for you, the prayer of faith, and it shall save the sick. What it's doing is you are putting it in God's hands. And you're asking God to enter into your problem. And so this guy said, man, I couldn't sleep. I couldn't sleep for weeks. And now all I got to do is, and know God's got this, and I sleep like a baby. You see, once we talk to God, and we tell him, God, I can't do this without you. Jesus, take the wheel and start telling him that you can't. You know what? Then, that's the very first step of sanctification and salvation. I can't. When you start confessing your weakness to God, guess what happens? Weakness becomes the doorway to grace. Think about it. Well, you ain't got to talk to everybody else. Talk to God. If there's somebody you feel comfortable with talking to, it's fine. But you ain't got to talk to everybody else. That's one of our problems is many times we talk to everybody else and don't talk to God. Talk to God first. If you got to talk to somebody else, that's fine. But make sure they're going to keep it with you and them and not everybody down the road and make something big out of it. But when you talk to God, God knows how to take care of it and he knows how to fix it. John 15:5 says, apart from me, you can do nothing. Psalm 40:2 says, he lifted me up out of the slimy pit. out of the mud and mire. He set my feet on a rock. I never seen a drowning man save himself by thrashing harder. Have you? Matter of fact, before they go down with that last time, they're hitting as hard as they can hit, and it doesn't save them. So thrashing harder doesn't save you. He has to admit he's powerless, and he cries for help. And then when the life card comes in, he has to let his body, his soul, into the hands of that life guard. So admitting weakness is not defeat. It is that doorway to grace. It is the beginning of freedom. Matter of fact, 2 Corinthians 12 and 9 says, my grace is sufficient for you. My power is made perfect. His power is made perfect in your weakness. Paul said, well, I gladly boast in my weaknesses then, because when I get weak, then he's strong. And when I think I'm strong, then I ain't letting him help. So you got to have God's help. Again, a drowning man, look at that. A drowning man, he can flap them hands all he wants to, but it's when he cries for help. We definitely need to connect to God's power. Now, that's number one, admit that we're powerless. Number two, Philippians 2:13. We came to believe that a power greater than ourselves can restore us to sanity. Here it is ready. Not in your, it's I can do all things through Christ, which strengthens me. The Amplified version is, not in your own strength, for it is God who is all the while effectually at work in you, energizing and creating in you the power and desire, both to will and do the work, his good pleasure and satisfaction and delight. So, step number two. Number one, we believe that we're helpless. I can't. Say, I can't. But we got to also believe in God's power. Say, he can. Okay? So, here it is. Philippians 2:13. We just read it. And now, look, once we admit that we can't, we discover God can. Faith is not wishful thinking. How many know that? It's not wishful thinking. I've had people tell me that before, and I go, no, you're wrong. Faith is confidence in God's ability. The same power that raised Jesus from the dead is at work in us. So, here it goes. God can do what we cannot do. His power can restore. His power can renew. The same power that raised Jesus lives in us. Faith is plugging into the power source. How many has ever seen a light bulb plug into the power source by itself? We have an air purifier, and we have it online, and my wife was at work. I was working on this, and she says, honey, the air purifier, I can't control it. What's going on? I can't work it. I said, oh, no, I'll go check on it. Anybody here got animals in their house? How many know how crazy cats are? Our crazy cats, I think they were jumping. They jump. Dogs don't jump all up on furniture like a cat. Cats can go anywhere. Dogs are kind of stuck around this high. Cats don't matter. And the cats were up on top of their little cage, and they jumped down, and when they were jumping, they went to jump behind a door, behind a seat, and they unplugged the power. And so we had an air purifier that really helped us with our allergies and helped with the dander from the cats, and it did nothing because it was no longer connected to the source. And my wife kept pushing the button saying, start! 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 But it would not start until it got plugged into a power source, because, listen, it couldn't plug itself in. So I went around and plugged it in. It is aggravating, though, because every time I walk in the room, it goes off. I mean, it starts up. It can be going all day long, not even run. I walk in the room and it starts up. I don't know what it is, but it doesn't make me feel good. Ephesians 3 and 20. God's got you in every way. You got to trust that he has got you. Ephesians 3 and 20. Now to him who's able to do immeasurably more than we all can ask or imagine. Jeremiah 32 and 17. O sovereign Lord, you have made the heavens and the earth. Nothing is too hard for you. You're not stuck in these attitudes. You're not stuck in these actions. God is able to restore, renew, and redeem. I want somebody to say it. I am not stuck. Say it again. I'm not stuck. Say it louder. I'm not stuck. Because God. Say it. Because God has a great big tow truck. I'm not stuck. All right. Point number three. Look at that. Man. That's a powerful thought. You know what that is, don't you? Your night says Peter walking on the water. Well, maybe, but if you notice, there's people everywhere sinking. How about that's us? And Jesus is reaching out to the ones that are asking for help. Amen. Number three, you got to surrender to God's care. You got to make a decision to turn our will and turn our lives over. Romans 12 and 1 tells us that we are living sacrifices before God. Proverbs 3, 5 and 6 says, trust in the Lord with all your heart, lean not to your understanding, and all your ways submit to him, and he will make your paths straight. Luke 9, 23 says, whoever wants to be my disciple must deny himself, take up his cross daily, and follow me. Psalm 37 and 5, commit your way to the Lord, trust in him, and he will do this. Your belief must lead to surrender. If you say, I believe in God, but you haven't surrendered, you haven't taken it far enough. Surrender's not losing, it's winning by letting God lead. God's care is safer than our control. Amen? Ready for some really cornfield wisdom here? A parachute only works if you jump. I did see one for sale one time. It said, parachute for sale. It was only $10. It said it was used once. Didn't open. Slightly blood stained. All right, here we go. Get ready. Brandon, you get ready too, because I want you to play I Surrender All a little bit when we get going here, okay? Being confident is the very thing that he who has begun a good work in you will complete it until the day of Christ. Philippians 1 and 6. From brokenness to breakthrough. The path to freedom is discipleship. I want y'all to say this with me. Step one, I can't. Say it. One more time. Step number two. Step number three. Amen. This is not just a journey of recovery. This is the gospel of Jesus Christ. I love it. God can, I can't. Wow. Everybody stand. Whatever you're facing, sin, fear, guilt, addiction, doubt, these steps remind us that God's grace is greater than our weaknesses. Everybody close your eyes. Bow your head. His power is stronger than our struggle. His care is more faithful than our fears. The very first thing before you start the three steps, the very first thing, since we're talking about surrender, is we have to surrender to God, period, in salvation. If you're here today and you've never surrendered to God in salvation, would you put up that hand? I'm not going to make a spectacle out of you. I'm just going to pray with you from where you sit. If you've never accepted Jesus, raise that hand. Every head bowed, every eye closed. If you're here today and you say, I'm not where I should be with God, and I need to, raise that hand. Just raise it and you put it back down. You can put it back down. Bless them, Lord. Now maybe you're here today and you're like Paul. The things you want to do, you can't do. And the things you don't want to do, you're always doing. The struggle is there and it's real. But so is grace and mercy. When you go a little bit further down, Paul says the cure to all that is the cross and trust in Jesus. That's God's part. Our part is to surrender. We have to admit that we can't do this on our own. We got to believe that God is able to restore and renew us. And we've got to surrender our will and lives to His care. To trust Him because He loves us. And He chooses to be with us and be our Heavenly Father. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for being there. And thank you for working strong in our lives. Help us to remember, I can't. You can. Help me to let you. God, you got this, and we thank you for it. Lord, in the name of Jesus, help us all to surrender everything to you right now in the name of Jesus Christ. Just put those hands up. God has got this. Go ahead and surrender. Just surrender. Just say, God, I give myself to you. Go ahead. I give myself to you. I surrender to you. I trust you, God. God's got it. God's got you. Just get in His presence and get in His hands. Sing this with me. I surrender all. Come on. I surrender all to Thee, my blessed Savior. I surrender all. One more time. Put those hands up. Go ahead. Surrender to Him. Surrender to Him. He's got you. He's got you. He wants you in the palm of His hand. He wants you to surrender your fears and surrender your troubles and surrender your heartaches and surrender anything that's got you. He wants you to surrender. He's not here beating you up and beating you down. He wants to lift you up and give you power and purpose. God's got this. One more time. I can't. Say it. I can't. God can. And I will let Him. God's got this. Let's sing that song again too. That's so awesome. When it gets around to that chorus, we'll sing it. Put those hands up and surrender. I surrender all. I surrender all to thee, my blessed Savior. I surrender all. God is awesome all the time. We're going to say the Lord's Prayer. Don't forget to come back next week. I can't remember. I think next week is 3 and 4. So remember, they're in groups. There's a group of 5, grouped up in 5 groups. I think next week is 3 and 4. Now, some of them are not be quite as easy to let go and surrender to. Okay, but it's there. They're there, and they work. And when you do these 12 steps, it's amazing what can happen. And I work with guys every week, and we go through these things, and it's amazing how powerful it is. So we're going to say the Lord's Prayer. And after say the Lord's Prayer, I'm going to ask Colonel Benny back there to dismiss us in prayer. Ready? Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day.